Hello and welcome to Mundo Messi. Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, no, it was on purpose. Welcome to Mundo Biceleste's podcast. This time it's Mundo Messi, as I said it, kind of in a playful way, but everybody's speaking about Messi, and we should be speaking about him too, because we speak about him every day for the last 4 years or so. And now that everybody is jumping on his bandwagon, I thought that we should be the ones speaking about him too. So for that, and to speak about many other things related to Argentina, I'm joined by John in Malaysia, as always. Hello, John.
Hello, Seba, and hello, everybody. Well, it looks like the world is dancing to the Messi tune. It's all about Messi, and everyone's going, how do I put it, Messi mania. And of course, when I mean all over the world, it also includes our friend from Canada, Roy.
Yeah, hey guys. Hi everyone. And John got it spot on. It's Messi mania. Forget about Hulk Hogan. Forget about Hulkamania. It's Messi mania. It's Argentina, and that's what matters.
Yeah, and first of all, were you two watching the game live?
Yeah, I was actually with a few friends. We were over at a bar pub type of thing. And everyone there, they were all, like Barcelona fans and stuff. And we were watching the game, and for even before Arsenal scored the first goal, Messi was playing in a way that I have never seen him play against an English opponent before. He had a good save. He forced a good save out of Almunia, and he had a shot that almost went, to the top corner. And he was implicated from the very beginning. And then the first goal came, second, third, and then the fourth. But it was a great experience watching the match live, and it's one that I'll probably never ever forget.
And it was really late in Malaysia, right? And was he keeping many people awake very late after midnight, John?
Well, I'm sure he did because definitely I would say Arsenal being an English football club, and they do have a lot of supporters here. We're definitely watching the game in the early hours. I think it was about 2:30 a.m. in the morning on Wednesday, but unfortunately for me, I was out stationed, so I wasn't able to watch the match live. And how did I got the news? Well, I was actually boarding the bus on the way to my work site, and there was an announcement on the news. It was kind of like a sports news going on the radio. And as soon as they announced the result that Messi scored four goals, you should have been there and to see exactly what was the reaction among all those people in the buses, especially those who were sitting down, those who were standing up. They were like looking at each other, with their eyes blinking, like like wow, this boy is amazing. And that was a very I would say a very touching feeling for me to see how people react to what Messi does on the field.
Yeah, and about speaking about how people will react, I'm trying to think that, especially the English media, that we know that they dominate the communications worldwide when it comes to sports, and especially about football, and written in that language. And fair enough, because it's the language, the original language from that country. But I'm kind of thinking that this argument that they've been running, especially during this season, about Wayne Rooney being on the same level or even better than Messi, I think all it took for them to realize was for Leo Messi to have a great performance against an English side. Because in the past, all of those clashes for Barcelona against Chelsea, Leo never really shined the way the way he shined Chelsea are very, very strong, and they play a different kind of game compared to Arsenal. They tried to block Barcelona, and for the most part they did. But the bottom line is that Leo Messi never really set the world on fire facing English opposition until last Tuesday. So I hope that they change the way they see Messi right now, and I hope they start recognizing Messi for what he is, because the only argument that they could have is that is based on goals scored. But Rooney is a striker, an out-and-out striker, and perhaps the only goal-scoring threat from that team, from Manchester United, whereas Messi plays in a very different kind of environment, and he plays deeper and farther from the opposing goal, and he is already scoring more goals than Wayne Rooney, so they don't even have one remaining argument, if you ask me. So, best player of the season and FIFA World Player of the Year and all those awards will again go Messi's way. Or do you think anything different, right?
Well, I mean, the only way I could see Rooney possibly winning World Player of the Year is if England somehow, some way manages, finds a way to win the World Cup. Other than that, I really, really don't see Rooney winning, any individual awards in Europe. And I'd like to, just add something to what you just said, and that's that if it seems in the English media that if it doesn't happen in England, it doesn't matter. And last month when Messi had like two or three hat tricks or whatever it was, people were still saying, yeah, well, you know what, it's easy to score in La Liga. Rooney's doing it, on a daily basis in England, and so he's better. But even if you forget about the goal scoring, because Messi has more goals scored than Rooney at the moment, forget about that. Just his overall play and his passing, his awareness on the pitch of everything that's going on around him is really amazing. And considering the fact that he's still just 22, that's remarkable, And I think the fact that finally he just exploded and had a great game against an English team, that's when the English media were like, oh, okay, well, maybe he is that good, And it's the English being ignorant. I mean, nothing against the English people or English fans, none whatsoever, but when I say ignorant, I mean the English media. They're just ignorant against anything that, if it doesn't happen in their league, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, I am a journalist myself, and I know that many of those things or those arguments that they pose are meant to be for to sell more papers. And I understand the game they play. And of course, it will sell more papers to have an article about how great Wayne Rooney is or how great Ryan Giggs is, when in reality they're not above Leo Messi or many other players that are playing outside the UK. So I understand when the game they're playing, but sometimes they take it too seriously, and that's when they have a problem. And it's not a problem that it's exclusive of the British media, because it happens everywhere in the world. It's not so bad these days in Argentina, but it used to be, and it happened before the 1958 World Cup, when the press here in Argentina thought that the Argentine players were the best in the world after defeating Brazil 3-0 in the 57 South American Championships, the former name of the Copa America, and they thought that we were going to walk away with the World Cup trophy, and instead we suffered a very heavy defeat against Czechoslovakia, and that was it. And it was like a wake-up call for the entire football community in Argentina. And I don't know if it's the same that happened with England when they lost to Hungary in the past. There's a famous game they lost in Wembley against Hungary, and they changed the way they were thinking and they were conceiving football, because they thought they were the greatest nation in the world when it came to football. But it doesn't seem to be they don't seem to have understood the lesson learned in the past, and they're doing it again and again and again. They're the best in the world, they have the best league in the world, they have the best players in the world, and so why not why don't they win the World Cup every 4 years? That's my question. So how do you see it done?
Well, I think I have to agree with Roy about the fact that how ignorant are the English media, because it's, I mean, in my lifetime, it's not the first time that they have hyped things up about one of their own players and trying to have a go against someone who doesn't play in England. If you can remember back in the late 90s, when especially after France 98, around 1999, when they were all over the moon about David Beckham, as if Beckham was like the best player in the world, and they were in outrage when Beckham did not actually win the European Footballer of the Year, and neither did he won the World Player of the Year. Instead, it went to Rivaldo. I mean, if you compare player to player, Rivaldo does more things on the field than just using his right foot, you know, making crosses and taking free kicks. So it does justify that. But in the end, the English media always fails to see this, and it always bothers me at times. Like, do they know exactly what is happening in reality? And just to get back on the historical part that you are mentioning about the Hungary match, in fact, that game actually was that friendly international in Wembley was actually played in somewhere around 1952 or 53, a few years ago.
Indeed.
In the yeah, and a few years ago in the World Cup in Brazil, England actually lost to the United States of America. An amateur team defeated this, you know, so-called best team in the world, and yet the attitudes have never changed since then. And I doubt it will ever change, because here in Malaysia, we have always been kind of like spoon-fed with the amount of variety of news available coming from England, and it's always been like that. They've said the same thing about Theo Walcott before 2006, when he hasn't even played one senior match for Arsenal. And you know, I can predict that in years down the road, they will be saying the same thing about any one of their players that you know, makes a remarkable debut and then goes disappeared for a few games. I mean, I have respect for the English people, the English fans. I think they are a great bunch of people, but you know, the media, I'm sad to say, it's not the same feeling for me when it comes to the media.
Right, we're going very far from the original argument, which was to talk about Messi. So let's go back to what Leo did on Tuesday. And one thing that I really liked was what Mod pointed out on the comments box on Mundo, that Messi did score past Almunia on the left, on the right, over the top of Almunia's head and between his legs. That seems, I think that's a little detail that sums up the entire performance by Messi. I mean, how often do you see a guy scoring 4 goals, and how often do you see it scoring with that kind of distribution? And if you see what I mean, there were so many things to try and digest after that kind of performance, that detail really escaped me. And when I saw it from Mod, I thought, oh, this is something I never thought about it. And I'm sure there are many, many other things that we didn't think about even a couple of days later. I know this performance had a great impact when it comes to statistics. Do you have any numbers handy, Roy? Am I putting you in a kind of a compromise here? I haven't asked you before when we were off the record if you had prepared any statistics to share with us, but do you have something?
I mean, obviously, I'm the statistic man in this group. I'm always one that says the statistics. But yeah, actually, I do have some. Messi is now the 10th all-time leading goal scorer for Barcelona. He's overtaken Stoichkov and Oskala, and he's just 3 goals behind 9th place Patrick Kluivert. So, at the age of 22, being already in the top 10, that's simply amazing. When it comes to Champions League, he's tied for first with Rivaldo, with 25 goals, as the highest goal scorer for Barcelona in the Champions League. Again, at 22, That's insane. That's not normal. I think we all know this by now. He's broken his personal record, which was 38 goals last season. He's now at 39 goals with, I think, around 10 games left in total, three in the Champions League. Well, two semifinals, one final, so three maximum in the Champions League, and I think around seven or eight left in La Liga. So with let's say ten matches left.
Let me stop you for a second. We're talking about Barcelona. We're not talking about a team that plays the Champions League every 10 years, or a team like Deportivo, who are clearly on a low right now, and they used to play in the Champions League in the 90s, for example. We're talking about a team that plays the Champions League or the European Cup very, very often. So it's no excuse to say, oh, okay, he's only doing this because he plays every season for them in the Champions League. Rivaldo did it when throughout his career in Barcelona, and many, many greats that played for Barcelona in the past can say the same. But the way he's going right now is simply breathtaking. And I'm taking a look at the goal scoring table in the Champions League this season. So Messi is the leader with eight goals, and he's followed by Cristiano Ronaldo with seven, Niklas Bendtner with five, Wayne Rooney with five, and Maroun Chamakh from Bordeaux with five. Okay, all of those are already out of contention. So I don't know.
I
I'm
mean,
taking a look. Michael Owen with four, already eliminated. Stefan Jovetic from Fiorentina, already eliminated. Ivica Olic with four goals is the only one of of those players who can probably reach him, but I doubt it. He's four goals behind Messi with two more games to play guaranteed, and then the final. I don't know. Then there's Zlatan with four goals, also in contention. And that's about it.
exactly.
And Miralem Pjanic from Lyon, and that's it. So he's headed for to be the top scorer in the Champions League for a second successive season, and that takes something.
And I mean, unless someone just absolutely goes nuts and scores, I don't know, seven or eight goals in two matches or three matches, then you're right. Messi is going to become the highest goal scorer again for two consecutive seasons in the Champions League. And just, I mean, just the thought that he's just 22, that still messes with my mind, because we've seen, we've seen great players come and go. You know, we have Ronaldo, and we've seen Batistuta and everyone like that, but none of them were at Messi's age and were doing what he was doing and winning what he was winning or what he is winning. And the fact that he's supposedly not even at his prime, because I mean, come on, well, most players reach their prime at what, 26, 27 or so, maybe give or take a year. We still have 4 more years before Messi supposedly hits his prime. And that's a scary thought.
Yeah, it's spooky. And spooky for the rest of the country. It's really encouraging and the best thing that could happen to us. One other thing I was thinking, Leo Messi is not an out-and-out striker. I mean, he's a proven goal scorer, and we know that he can score, but he doesn't seem to be in the same class with, or not the same class, but I mean the same position that Gonzalo Higuaín plays, or Wayne Rooney, or Zlatan Ibrahimovic, and you know it's not a number nine. He's not that kind of goleador type of player. He's more of a playmaker, and he's a forward player, but it's not that. Goals are the things that are required the most from him and from his game. And yet he's breaking all sorts of scoring records. And he's only 8 or 7 goals away from Ronaldo's, the Brazilian Ronaldo, best scoring season for for a Barcelona player ever. He scored something like 46 or 47 goals in 1995, 96. Do you have that handy? Can you confirm this bit of
Well,
info? Messi.
I can't confirm the year, but I know it was around 46 or 47 goals that Ronaldo did score for Barcelona.
Yeah, so that
It
puts him
was
big.
in the season 95-96, his last season with Barca before his record-breaking transfer to Inter Milan. He actually scored more goals than he appeared for Barca.
Wow, yeah, that's something. But Leo Messi is currently at a rate of 0.93 goals per game. That's almost one goal per game, so that's something really, really impressive. And in La Liga, he is the top scoring, he's the top scorer and also the player with most assists in the entire tournament. That's something that's really, really impressive as well. Not only he tops the scoring chart, but he also tops the assist standings, and that speaks volumes of his game. He's in it.
Well, Seba, I just, I mean, sorry to interrupt you, but there was something that I want to add as well. Let's understand something that playing for Barcelona today, or playing for any big club in Europe today, is different than it was in the past, because the Champions League, as we know today, is you get like top three or top four from the big leagues that will qualify to play in the Champions League. And if I can remember that back in 1995, 96, when Ronaldo was playing for Barcelona, they were not in the Champions League. Back then, the Champions League was pretty much an exclusive club for league winners. It's not available for teams that finish second, third, or fourth. So it's a whole new different environment. And to con if I were to compare this and that, this is even going to be tougher for any player, because you know for a fact that when your club is in Europe, there's going to be more games involved and more minutes on the field, and it can take its toll on any normal human being. And surprisingly, well, I mean, thankfully, Messi is just not one of those normal human beings. He is out of this planet.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. And also, we have to have in mind that he had a lot of injuries in the past. It's not like he played every Champions League game Barcelona played in the last 4 or 5 seasons. So that's another thing to consider. And I want to talk about a couple of arguments that I've been hearing about how Messi will never reach quite the level Maradona has reached as a player. And there was one reader that said that Messi will never be as great as Maradona because Maradona also had to overcome or overcame drug issues and problems with related to that kind of thing or a crazy lifestyle. And I mean, that's not fair. That's not fair to put in an argument. I mean, if you were talking about injuries, fine. But you're not talking about injuries. You're talking about something that Maradona did to himself. And he was brave enough to not only to fight and come back from that kind of hell, but also to confess, admit it, and to say, okay, I made a mistake and I paid for all of them, but football shouldn't be tarnished because of what I did. And it would be really, really unfair to say that Messi will never be as great as Maradona because he didn't have to fight against those demons. I mean, that's something really you can bring to the table when you speak about comparing Maradona to Messi. And the other thing that I think is kind of unfair when they ask of Messi to go and play for a tiny club in the south of Italy and or anywhere. I'm just saying to compare with what Maradona did. There's big Maradona fanatic that are saying, okay, but Diego became the top scorer in Argentina for 5 consecutive seasons playing for a small team like Argentinos Juniors. And then he went to Italy and he took a small team to the top of the world or close to it, and he defeated the big powers from Italian football, the powers from the north, Inter, Milan, and Juventus. But I don't think it's fair to say that too, because and people say, okay, it's really easy to play for Barcelona. I don't know, what do you guys think?
I
But
mean,
I think it's unfair to ask of Messi to do the same kind of career that Maradona did. Every player has his very own career, and it's up to them to play at the highest possible level. And I don't think anyone in his right mind will switch Barcelona for a team mid-table in any league. Think of Bolton Wanderers or I don't know, Lille in France, or you name it. I mean, it would be insane for Messi to change his environment and to move from the place where he's really happy to play every day just to prove a point. I mean,
no, I mean you're absolutely right, and I mean that's the way life, has dealt with Messi. Growing up, growth hormone problems, went to Barcelona, and I mean, yeah, sure, he got lucky in the sense that he found a team that was able to pay for his medical bills, and now he's repaying them. I mean, no one can deny that. And the thing about Maradona is that, I mean, for me, there's never going to be another Maradona at all,
yep.
period. But the thing about Diego is that he kind of tarnished his own career, so to speak, in his own hands. It was his fault. So yeah, I mean, the thing with Maradona is he's the one that took the drugs. He's the one that hurt his body and essentially, in some people's eyes, hurt his career. And if I'm not mistaken, I heard a quote from Diego say that if he hadn't taken the cocaine, if he hadn't taken the drugs, then there would be no debate whatsoever as to who was better between Maradona and Pelé. And I think to a certain degree that's true, because if you look at drugs, it doesn't necessarily make you a better player. If anything, it makes you worse. And to say that, oh, Diego took drugs and he still played the way he is, which means he's better than Messi, I mean, I don't see it that way. I mean, if that's the case, then Messi would have to take drugs. It would be like, okay, well, they both took drugs, they're both on level terms, now we could actually judge them.
And it's
I find that
happening, and that's nonsense. I mean, times have changed, and they're different kind of players. And what can you say about Pelé? If you're being regarded as the best in the world, how come you spent 4 years in a non-existent league in North America, the NASL? I mean, what was that? I mean, and you still consider to be the best in the world? You never played domestic football in Italy or Spain or England or anywhere. I mean,
Exactly.
yeah,
it's not that hard.
I mean my
I'm not, sorry, I'm not being nationalistic here, but based on that same kind of argument, there's no way Pelé can be anywhere near Maradona when it comes to who was the greatest in the world based on the career. But the truth is, Pelé was amazing. He was a really amazing player, and he's well deserved all the plaudits he gets. But I mean, it's nonsense to compare careers as they were equal. I mean, forget about it.
Yeah, I mean, my plea to everyone, if everybody's listening, is to stop the comparison. In it doesn't make sense. Like what you guys said, it's two different times. And even though, I mean, let's talk about musicians for that matter. I mean, of course, they grew up listening to a certain kind of music, and they were inspired. And but that doesn't necessarily mean that when they start becoming musicians or performers themselves, they want to copycat exactly what were the influence were doing. They try to develop their own style, their own sound, and I guess that's the same thing we can say for a footballer like Messi. Let him be Lionel Messi and let him develop his game as Lionel Messi, and I'm sure we will see the return, the success that we all want to see from him with the Argentina national team one day. And but I'm not going to say the same thing for Gabriel Heinze though, because to let him be Heinze is it's a disaster for us.
One thing just to stay on topic with the Messi thing, and that is that I mean the thing with Messi is there's so much pressure on him. I mean there really is. Ever since Maradona left, we've had so many players been called, you know, oh he's the next Diego Maradona, he's gonna lead us to glory. I mean I heard it with Ortega, I heard it with Riquelme, I heard it with Tevez, and I've heard it with Aymar and others and others. But no one has come close, or no one has come as close as Messi. And in the sense that I get the feeling that everyone in Argentina is kind of expecting him to win the World Cup on his own, and that if he doesn't win it, then that's it. You know, they're going to go back to bashing him and saying bad things about him. And I really don't find it fair, because they're both, I mean, like you guys mentioned, different players, different generations. And what Diego did, we should not expect that from any other player. You know, and I think people, when people think, oh, you know, Maradona did this, Maradona did that, how come Messi can't do it? Well, you know, Messi shouldn't or doesn't have to win the World Cup on his own, you know, and that's I find it unfair, and the pressure on his shoulders right now is just ridiculous, especially not only in Barcelona but with Argentina as well.
Yeah, you know what? It's not fair, but it's kind of the unwritten rule. I mean, it's what comes with the job. I mean, both Maradona and Messi have a lot to thank football for their careers and their lives and their future, even. They gave a lot to the sport. That I won't deny it, but for all the beauties that come from being a top, a world-class footballer, and all the people's recognition and the love and affection they get from people who don't even speak their own languages, their own language. I mean, for all of those beautiful things, there are the other things that are not wanted by them. I mean, the pressure, the criticism, the insatiable appetite of fans and media and managers and family and friends. Sorry, but they have to deal with it. I mean, they are the best in the world. Maradona was the best in the world when he was playing. Messi is the best in the world right now, and they have to deal with it. They have to deal with the pressure. And I think what made Maradona great was that he performed every time he was asked to perform, and that's what needs to be proven these days. I mean, there was a lot of pressure for him to take Barcelona to win every title last season, and that's exactly what he did. And he was instrumental in every final Barcelona played, and in everything that led to the final as well. So I don't think that Messi is not being able to show what he can do for Argentina has any with pressure, because I've seen that Messi can handle the pressure better than any kid his age, right? And probably better than anybody at any age, because it takes a lot of pressure to be regarded as the next Maradona, and now to be considered as even better than Maradona for some people. It takes a lot to even get to the pitch and play your football, let alone shining the way he's shining. So I don't think it has to do with pressure, and I'm confident that Messi can take on that pressure and elevate his game even more. He's showing that he can't get enough. He always wants more, and you will hear that from Guardiola. You will hear that from many of the Barcelona players. The minute he scored the fourth goal against Arsenal, I'm sure he was thinking, now I want to go to Madrid and beat them on Saturday, and then I want to go to Milan and beat Inter and win my third Champions League. And you won't find complacency on Messi's game, and that's probably what it takes to be the best in the world. And I hope that I hope that Messi proves me right in what I'm saying. the reason why he's not performing for Argentina is not because of pressure. It's because the setup is not the same as in Barcelona, and he's not being he's not playing in the right environment for him to shine. He's taking the ball way behind the midfield line, and he has to run 70 meters doing a slalom against the entire opposition. So that's something I wanted to say about how Messi is dealing with the pressure, and how he has to take what comes with with his position as the best in the world.
Yeah, I mean, Messi, I think by now is used to the pressure, but I think the pressure in Spain is different than the one in Argentina because in Spain, everyone knows what he could do with Barcelona. And I think, well, not only in Spain, but everyone around the world knows what he could do with Barcelona. It's just the fact that you have, you know, that little, those little group of people in Argentina that say, well, he can't do it with us, he can't do it with the national team. And I think they're wrong. I think he could do it with the national team, but like you said, it's a completely different team and it's a completely different setup. And in '86, when Diego did it, I mean, he was at the top of his game, and I've never seen anyone dominate a World Cup like he did. But at the same time, he still had a pretty decent, you know, supporting cast, so to speak. I mean, other players showed up in the final and played as well. Whereas with Argentina, it's just, I don't know, it seems to be just Messi and right now Higuain to a certain extent. And everyone else on the team is just relying, you know what, let's just give the ball to Messi and see what he could do. And I think that's what I was alluding to earlier when I said that it's not fair.
Yeah, and I don't think that's what's happening. I mean, it's not like Argentina is, we are really relying on what Messi can do, or giving the ball to Messi and see what he can do. It's not happening at the moment. And Messi is being isolated most of the times. And Argentina are making things easier for our rivals by playing the way we're playing. That's something that we will discuss in the future, and in the coming month before the World Cup. But do you, John, have the same impression I have that when he plays for Barcelona, we all know about the different setup and the fact that he trains with his teammates every day. But do you have the impression that they are willing to share the ball more in Barcelona than our strikers in Argentina are willing to share the ball? Let me know if you understood my question.
No, I didn't really get your question.
So I'll put it this way. Do you think being surrounded by Tevez, Agüero, Higuain, all players that are reluctant to pass the ball first, with their first intention, their first try to dribble the opposition or try to shoot at goal, and they don't think about the past unless it's the last resource. And that's something I'm thinking. And do you agree with this? And can you compare that to players like Pedro or Boyan or even Zlatan, who was very reluctant to pass the ball around for most parts of his career, but he seems to be changing the way he plays. He seems to be changing his approach.
Well, to a certain extent, I would like to agree with you on this because I mean, we have seen it pretty much, you know, a dozen over times with the national team, especially when players like Tevez or Kun Aguero partners Messi up front. It always seems like each of them, like you know, a man of their own. You know, they're not very keen to pass each other or share the ball with each other. And sometimes I think, you know, this kind of like affects Messi's performance with the national team as compared to when he is with Barcelona, because somehow or other I get the feeling that the players in Barca, they trust him, they have comfort with him, and they have confidence with him. And when you have this kind of response from your teammates, it really builds your own self-esteem. You know, it really does pushes you to go out there and play your best game, and you will not be under like severe pressure from everyone, you know, to prove that how good you can be on the field. And I kind of think that that's the whole problem with Messi with the national team. he doesn't get those kind of respond with the teammates that he has around him.
And that's something that is not that Diego can't change those kind of things. It's something you can work on, and it takes a lot of talking as well as practice. And we all know we're not practicing enough, even with the little time we have. I don't think Diego is spending it the right way. And they're training very, very little time. But that I think that's something you can change, and that's something in the mentality of the players, and something some kind of a message has to be sent across all our players, and think, and that they have to think that if they pass the ball around and if they all take play a part in the game, we can achieve big things. And they have to put the team first and their own performances second. Now that they are pretty much guaranteed of a place, most of the players are guaranteed of a place in the World Cup. That's something we'll discuss later in a future edition of our podcast as well. Now that they probably have a ticket to South Africa already booked, maybe they can start sharing the ball a little bit more, and they don't feel the need to showcase what all their abilities and prove a point. Now they can start concentrating on playing as a team, and that's something we've been missing a lot in the World Cup qualifiers, and that's why we suffer that much. But there's another issue that was brought to my attention by Roy. Do you want to share with us, Roy, this fact about this meeting that Maradona had with Messi and what went on in that meeting? At least
Yeah.
you hear.
Yeah, well, from what I heard, I'm not sure if there's how much truth or if there is any truth to it. And this was about 2, 3 weeks ago I heard it. Right after the Germany game, obviously there was the meeting between Maradona and Messi in the hotel room. And supposedly Messi gave Diego a letter or a type of list containing containing the names of players who he would like to see on the national team. Now, how much truth is there to it? I don't know. But supposedly one of the names on there was Gabriel Milito. And for anyone who's been watching Barcelona over the past few months, it's no surprise that Messi and Milito seem to be pretty close. Whenever Messi scores, at times he's gone out of his way to just run towards Milito, even if he's on the bench, to just go celebrate with him. So I'm not surprised to hear about Milito. Another name that I heard was the goalkeeper Oscar Ustari, who plays with Getafe. But after I heard about this list thing, a few days later, there was an interview. I think it was on Clarín, Ole Clarín. There was an interview with Ustari, and he said that he had a meeting with Maradona, a quick little meeting, and Diego told him that if he keeps playing the way he's playing, that chances are he's probably going to make the World Cup, the squad for the World Cup. And kind of makes me wonder, well, how much of that is attributed to Messi? Because I'm not sure how many people realize this, but Messi doesn't seem to have that many friends on the Argentina national team. And a few months ago, Messi came out and said that during the 2007 Copa America, Varane came up to him and kind of helped him integrate himself into the team with Argentina. And this was in 2007. At the time, Messi has been playing with the national team for about a year and a half, 2 years. So during that time span, Messi was playing with the team, but he had no real friends in it. So it kind of makes you wonder, well, maybe there is some truth that Messi does want some players on the team who he's close to, and who might help him, do better with the team. So I wouldn't be surprised if that type of list is true.
Right, so the first thing that comes to my mind is I don't think Messi is that kind of player who will go and say to Maradona, listen, I want this and that player on the list as a condition. I don't think he's that kind of player. We've seen in the past when Basile was getting to the end of his tenure as manager with Argentina, I remember Messi arriving to Barcelona and talking to the press, and when he was asked, he said, "Yeah, our national team needed a change," or stuff like that, and he was very criticized for that, and to make those comments. But I see him more that kind of a person, that kind of a player, not the one that will go and try to impose something to Maradona, but he'll be clever enough to just mention it to the press and say, "Okay, yeah, I like Gabi Milito. He's a good friend, and I think he could do wonders for the national team." And he sends the message across. And then if Maradona is willing to take Milito to the World Cup to make his star player happy, then fair enough. And Messi will get what he wants without having to confront Maradona. And that's the kind of player I think Messi is, rather than the kind of player Maradona was when he used to play. Maradona, he did he was the kind of player that will go talk to the manager and say, "Okay, I don't want this guy on the list. I want this and this and this," and Bilardo will accept. But I don't see Messi in the same kind of with the same kind of personality. And the second thing is, when it comes to a World Cup, you have to think about not only those ideally 7 matches that you will play. You have to think about the month before, and then the month you'll have to spend together in South Africa. And for that, it's very important that you are surrounded by people you like. It's not possible that you will be friends with the other 22 players in the squad, but if you can at least have two or three friends that you could spend time with and have conversations with, then I think that's crucial, especially for the star player of the team. And so I think it would be a clever move by Maradona to take Gabriel Milito, to take Óscar Ustari, because let's face it, he'll go there as a third keeper, and his most important role would be the social part of it, because he very likely won't see any minute of action during the tournament. So why not take him? And then we know that Kun Agüero is a friend of Messi as well. Then there's Verón, and with those three or four players around Messi, they'll probably make him feel better. And that's a very important part, the mental part of Messi ahead of a World Cup. Because we all remember those final images from 2006, right after we lost to Germany, and how the cameras show Messi sitting on the bench on his own, on the floor, and not talking to anyone. And he looked like a very, very unhappy kid. And that's something we don't want to see. And I think Messi has gone a long way in these 4 years, and he has matured a lot and improved a lot. But he has a very unique personality. And as a manager, I think Maradona has to do anything in his power to make him happy. And by having a happy Messi, we'll all be very happy.
Yeah.
Those are the two things that come to my mind
Yeah, I
when it
mean,
comes to that particular situation.
yeah, I will agree with you on that. But I mean, speaking about this list for that matter, but how much is it reliable when we all know that Diego is not the kind of a manager that will, listens to demands like this from his players? I find it a little bit hard to believe whether there's any genuine in this list.
No, the only possible thing that I can think of is that if it was the other way around, that maybe Maradona, in his attempt to make Messi happy and to make our national team play better, maybe he was the one who said to Messi, "Okay, who do you want on the team?" And that's the only way I can think of Messi taking the opportunity or the chance to tell Diego who are the players who he wants around him. That's the only way I could see the situation developing.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it will have to be what I said before, that Messi will say this or that to the press, knowing that whatever he says will get to Maradona's ears, and then it's up to Diego to decide. In fact, Messi said, I think, and I quote, Gavi Milito will be great for our national team. I'm not the one who makes the call-ups, and I'm not the one who decides. I'm just saying that I would like for Gabriel to be to be with me in the World Cup. He is a great friend, and I think he'll do wonders for Argentina. And I end quote. So that's exactly what I'm saying. He's saying it to the press, and at the same time, he's saying, I don't want to get in the middle of Diego's job, and I don't want to do Diego's job. I'm just saying that I like Gabi Milito, and he'll be a good player for Argentina. And that's, if you ask me, that's very clever from Messi, because at the same time he's avoiding a confrontation with Diego, and if Diego has any problems with him and with this kind of statement, then Messi can say, okay, I said I'm not making the decisions. I'm not stepping on your toes, so to speak.
Well, I mean, I think both of you are right in the sense that, you know, it's probably Maradona who, if anything, he's the one that approached Messi and said, "Okay, who do you want on the team?" Because if you think back when Maradona was playing, when he was captain, Seba, like you said, he was the one that, you know, that really had a heavy influence on Bilardo's decisions. And maybe Maradona's like, okay, well, you know what? I'm not exactly getting the best out of Messi right now, but you know, I'll listen to the kid and I'll see what he wants and who he wants on the team. And that's why I mean, I tend to believe that there actually was some sort of list, because if you listen to all of Maradona's interviews, he keeps saying how he wants to see Messi happy, how Messi's you know, the best player on the team, and how, you know, he needs to step it up and this and that. And maybe this is one way for Diego to help Messi. If he's not able to help him tactically, then maybe he's able to help him off the pitch. So that's why I think there really was a list. Whether it was Messi who told Diego, "Look, I want this guy on the team," or whether it was Maradona who approached Messi and said, "Okay, who do you want on the team?" I don't know, but I think there was a list.
Yeah, and also another thing that is not minor, it's not a minor detail. If Messi is asking for Gabriel Milito to be included in the list, it's not like he's asking for a second division player in Argentina or for a childhood friend from Rosario. This is Messi calling out for a world-class defender who got
Yeah.
it really tough during his career, and he was almost signed by Real Madrid. Now he's playing for Barcelona, and he's back in his game. And he started for Barcelona against Arsenal, and he's getting back to his old form. So I don't think it's too crazy to think that Gabriel Milito could play a part for Argentina.
Well,
In fact,
I would
some
take
may
Gabriel
argue.
Milito, definitely. I'm sorry to interrupt you, but I will take Milito anytime as pretty much a backup for both De Michelis and Walter Samuel in the center back position, because he, as you said, he's a world-class defender and he's probably pretty much in the best position that he has been since he got his injuries someone like 2 years ago, I guess. And you have to capitalize on this moment for him, because he is playing with a whole lot of confidence. And if there is any right time to bring Milito back to the national team, now's the time. Bring him back.
And also another thing that I want to point out, let's not forget there is another very, very important reason for Gabriel Milito to be in the list, and even though he's the second best Milito in the world, right? No, but I mean this. Not so long ago, Maradona criticized Valdano for the way he's treating the Argentine players at Real Madrid, right? He said that Valdano is probably getting in the way of a national team, and he got Heinze out of Real Madrid, and now he got Gago substitute, and that he would do the same to Higuain, except that Pipita is scoring goals and he can take him out. And but that's what Maradona implied, and he kind of became enemies with Valdano. They never actually were friends. They won the World Cup together, but they never really, really were the best friends. So that's another reason why, in order to annoy Valdano, Maradona could call Gabriel Milito to the national team. Because let's not forget that Real Madrid had actually signed Gabriel Milito a few years ago. And when they had the medical test, the Real Madrid doctor said, okay, this player has a problem in one of his knees and his career is over. He can't play professionally anymore. And they went out and they went public and they said that to the international press. So all of a sudden, Gabriel Milito had a tag of ex-player hanging on his shoulders, on his head. So after that, he signed for Zaragoza. He beat Real Madrid in the Copa del Rey, and then he moved on to play for Barcelona, and he won the league. He won the Champions League, or at least he was in the squad that won the Champions League. And now he's back in his prime, and he could very well win the Champions League at the Bernabeu, and that would be so sweet for a player like Gabriel Milito, who had it really, really tough. And I'm full of praise for that guy, because he has shown that he's a top player and a top person. And you have to take these words as something very special, because I'm full of praise of a player that came from Independiente. That's not very easy for me to say. There you go, I said it.
But how would you like the prospect of seeing the other Milito winning the Champions League, or even scoring in the final and winning the Champions League?
Interesting that you raised that point. I'd be happy now for any team to win the Champions League. I'm not a fan of any of the teams that are in contention, especially Bayern Munich. The other thing, I do have a soft spot for them, but I'm not a big fan. So any team that wins the Champions League, I'll be happy for the players that are involved. So I don't have a preference, and I have to say that it's very tempting for me to see the prospect of Barcelona playing the final at the Bernabeu and lifting the trophy right there, to rub it on Florentino Perez's noses and all the Real Madrid crazy media operation. So that's it. I'll be happy with any of the players lifting the trophy.
But speaking of the Champions League, not to cut you off, Seba, but speaking of the Champions League, like you mentioned, I mean, all four remaining teams have at least one Argentine player on their squad. But how much does this actually affect the national team? Because heading into the two semifinals, whoever makes it to the final, well, the final is held, I think, on May the 22nd, if I'm not mistaken. That's pretty late in May. And by that time, I mean, all the domestic leagues in Europe would have been finished. So, I mean, I'm a Barcelona fan. I've been watching them, I'll be honest, since Riquelme first joined, for his brief stint in Spain. That's when, really, I became a Barcelona fan. So, for me, I mean, they're my team. I don't support anyone else. But at the same time, do I really want a gassed-out Messi playing at the World Cup? I mean, that's what's really worrying me, in the sense that, okay, they're my favorite team, he's my favorite player. Do I want him gassed out for the World Cup?
Yeah, that's something you can't avoid, can you? And the thing is, there are two ways of seeing it. One is, yeah, they will be gassed out, like what happened with Argentina in 2002, and many will argue that's exactly what happened to Brazil in 2006. But the other way of seeing it is that they will stay much fit. Probably they will have to go the extra mile, but they will stay much fit in a way that many other players with nothing to play for from maybe as early as this week or next week until the World Cup, they will probably have to fine-tune again and find their footballing form, which is not easy to find. Think about when teams go on pre-season and how long it takes for them to reach the top footballing form. And that's another way of seeing it. Maybe with an adequate training system that avoids burning the players out, they can manage and play at a decent level at the World Cup or at a good level. And let's not forget that the previous World Cups were played under scorching weather. I mean, and it was very, very hot in Korea and Japan. It was very, very hot in Germany, and same in France. And this time it's going to be played in the winter, in a winter month. So it's, I think that plays a part in preserving some of the energies, some of the energy the players will have to face a tough competition such as the World Cup.
Yeah, I got the same feeling too, because South Africa is being a Southern Hemisphere country. I would suppose that the weather there around June and July could be pretty much similar to what it is in Buenos Aires. But perhaps maybe you can share something with us, Seba.
No, you're right. The only added issue that I will see is that in some places the altitude could be a little higher, but nothing compared to La Paz or Quito. So there's nothing to be worried about in that sense. But perhaps the ball will travel a little faster or because the air is thinner up there, but it's not like you'll have a huge impact, at least on the football that we'll see in South Africa. And another thing is, think about this the other way around. Think about how confident will Messi be, or Diego Milito and Walter Samuel, or Javier Zanetti if he's called up, or Martin Schmeichel, whoever gets to win the Champions League. Think about the level of confidence they will bring to the World Cup.
Yeah.
If Barcelona wins it, that would be a problem because half of the Spanish national team will be high on confidence.
Yeah.
But I guess you get my point.
Yeah. I guess the I mean, like what Roy was mentioning to me earlier, that about the situation that happened with Veron in 2002, that he too had a very long season with United and came to the World Cup pretty much, quite exhausted and was not able to perform at his best. But
Yeah, he was.
but I think it's I wouldn't want to I wouldn't like to compare the two situation, because Veron had a very tough season with Man United. He came to the English Premier League as the record signing for a player in the Premiership. I think it was about 28 million. And he had a huge burden on his shoulder, a price tag to live up to. And when his style of game failed to suit the rough and tumble English Premier League, it had an effect on his performance when he came to the World Cup. I guess some of his the confidence that he had kind of went down. I wouldn't say the same thing for Messi, because Messi is playing at a level that you can only say that he's like giving a 5-star performance week in, week out. It only helps his confidence much better when he goes to South Africa.
Yeah, and Veron was carrying an injury back then in 2002, but anyway, it all went wrong for that team. And I think the team peaked at the wrong time. The team peaked at around 2001, at top of the FIFA rankings, if they serve any purpose, but beating any team anywhere. But it all came too little too early. So that's something that happened back in 2002. So, anyway, I think we are about to wrap up, but before that, a couple of announcements. First, a few changes that are coming our way in Mundo Albiceleste. You'll soon find out what we're talking about, but we're working on something special. We're always working on trying to give you the best service that we can and the best source of information for Argentina. We'll try and continue to do that for the foreseeable future. And do we want to tell the people a little bit about what's in store for us, or do we want to keep it as a secret, guys?
Well, it's, well, I don't know. We normally we give them a little type of hint, but it's up to you guys. I don't mind.
Let's give them nothing.
Fair enough.
Just wait and see, guys. It's going to be amazing. We will make Mundo Albiceleste much better than it ever was before. Definitely. We are always trying to improve things around here for you guys.
And another thing that I wanted to mention is that it's been confirmed that I will be Argentina's correspondent for Soccernet during the World Cup. My columns in Soccernet will start coming earlier, and I'll let you know. But it's kind of a special feeling for me because doing it 4 years ago during the Germany World Cup, writing columns for Soccernet as a correspondent for the World Cup was what brought Mundo Albiceleste alive, and it was what helped me make new friends such as John, Roy, and all the listeners. And it kind of started without me knowing it, and I just started writing a column for Soccernet, and I didn't have an email address or anything for me to get some feedback, so I didn't know if I was being read by anyone. I knew not even my family was reading me because I was writing in English, so I thought maybe there's nobody out there reading what I have to write about Argentina. But as soon as I created an email address and I posted on one of those columns, the emails just kept flooding in, and I was amazed by the kind of response that those columns were getting. So after that, I decided to create Mundo Albiceleste, and now kind of the circle is kind of closing right now because I'm going to do it again for this upcoming World Cup, and I'm hoping to attract many, many other fans like all of you and like me from every corner of the world, like what's been going on for the last 4 years. So I expect more people to join Mundo Albiceleste in the future, and it's gonna be exciting. So I hope you stay with us like you've been for all these years.
It's amazing that we have we're almost reaching 4 years old. So much of memories to talk about when you look back during these last 4 years.
Yeah, we were here when Messi was nobody.
Yeah, definitely.
Right, and I think that's all from us right now. And I have to go walk Diego's dog, if you allow me.
By the way, how was that match between Ince and Diego Milito that you were refereeing?
Oh, that was a funny joke. You know, the minute that I saw that post that you, for those of you who didn't see it, Roy played his usual April Fool joke, and it was about a fight between Maradona and Grondona. But the minute I saw the headline, I said, "What? Am I missing something?" And I went to check every major media channel in Argentina, and there was nothing about it. And I thought, "What? What is is Roy high on something? And then I read the post and I had a laugh, of course. So yeah, I think that's all from us right now. And unfortunately, we recorded this on the day Benfica are traveling to Anfield to take on Liverpool with a lot of Argentines in action. And a ticket to the Europa League semi-final at stake. And then also Valencia Atletico Madrid with Sergio Agüero in action as well. So I don't have the crystal ball, so I don't know what happens in that game. So we'll discuss later in a future edition of the podcast if we discuss it at all, if it doesn't get too old of a result. So that's all from us. Thank you, John. Thank you, Roy.
Thank you, Seba. No, go ahead, Roy.
No, I was going to say thanks, Seba. Thanks, John. And thanks, everyone, for listening.
Yeah, same goes for me, too. And don't forget to subscribe to us via iTunes as well. That's another channel available for you guys to listen to Mundo Albiceleste's podcast.
Right. Thank you very much to everyone for listening, and until next time. Vamos, Argentina.